I remember selling up to about $30 worth. And girl, we went straight to Payless and got us some shoes. Right. But that was our first. I mean, the whole summer we had like $30, girl, with the Payless.
Listen, back in the day, $30 at Payless could get you a little something. Yes.
They weren't even trying to reinvest in the business. They were like,
let's just get to it. Listen. Face Zoom edition. Today, I am your host, Natalia.
And I am your host, Courtney G. Today, we have a very special guest, Jennifer James. I've been knowing you how long?
It's probably 20 years. About 20 years.
We met in college. We went to Texas Christian University together. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. But now she is like entrepreneur, has her hand in many different businesses that we're going to talk about today. She's a wife. She's a mother. She is all things in the community, like very well known in the community. So ladies and gentlemen, this is Jennifer James.
She did this last time too. She did this. She also couldn't do gentlemen.
It's all good. Look, it's all good. Well, thanks for having me. I'm super excited to get going. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about you. Like, give us your version of an intro.
Oh, wow. So I am consider myself a serial entrepreneur at this point. Started off in the corporate world, immediately out of college. Thought I was going to be a doctor, by the way. Majored in health sciences. Realized that wasn't going to be the route by the time I got to, like, biology 3. So decided to kind of go a different route. I knew I'd always had a love for business. So went the HR route, worked in the human resources for a little bit. And from there, was able to kind of really learn different types of ways to work in a business. Because as you know, human resources is like the nucleus of any company. Because you're working with marketing, operations, finance. You're kind of like that core. So from my couple of years experience there, got into business consulting for about 5+ years. And one day, you know, I would say this. As my life was transitioning, I started to transition out of the workforce. I got married, had kids, and then by the time I had my second kid, I realized that the workforce and corporate life wasn't as flexible as I needed to be, especially being kind of a working mom. Decided to kind of jump out there on my own and, you know, see what the entrepreneurship life was like, and I just have not been able to turn back since then.
What was your first business? Was it the clothing brand? Was the first?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So Active Ego. That came out of the fact that I was pretty heavy plus size, and I just could not seem to find anything stylish to wear that was like that athleisure material. At the time, Lululemon had, you know, came out, which was great, but it wasn't for us. When I say for us, I'm talking about plus size women, right? And we're not marketing to us. So I really wasn't familiar with some of the products that they had as we are today. But I just remember feeling just really uncomfortable shopping for activewear, because everything for us at the time was just really dull. It was navy blue, black. It wasn't any vibrant colors, patterns as you see now. So I just went on a limb and said, you know what, I'm just going to design my own thing, right? And it kind of started as a joke. And so I kind of made a couple pieces like leggings. I went to Joann's Fabric to like fabric source. It wasn't anything in particular. And then I remember hiring a freelancer to kind of draw, you know, just kind of the garment, how I wanted it to be, and found a sewer where to kind of like sew it. And so I remember making a poncho, leggings, and I believe a t-shirt or something like that, and selling it to family and friends, just kind of as a, you know, confidence builder. And then, you know, when it started kind of gaining traction amongst my family and friends, and I just really started using social media in a way that I had never used it before, I really realized that I want to sell products. I really like selling products. You know, I want to go beyond my family, friend circle. Let me see what it's like if I really, you know, dedicate my time to it. And just so happened in God's timing, the project that I was working on, consulting project I was working on came to an end. And I felt like that was really kind of an open door of really God telling me, okay, Jen, it's time to step out there to really see, because God had to force me out there because I wasn't just going to quit my job to do it. But because it was an opening for me to do that, again, life had transitioned to my next phase. I just thought that would be a perfect opportunity, and I'm just so glad I did.
Yeah, I remember when you launched Active Ego. Yeah. We were very excited for you because we was, first of all, I didn't know you had an entrepreneur bone in your body. Like, what? Like, so I remember I bought a t-shirt. I might still have that t-shirt. And I remember watching your segment on Good Morning Texas.
Okay, come on. Yes.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, Jennifer. And I think you got, it was either Nordstrom's or Neiman Marcus. I know it starts
with Marcus.
Neiman Marcus. Okay. So, to us on the outside, like, we don't know business. We don't know things. So it seemed like, you know, things were going very well. I guess tell us, like, when you decided, I don't even know. Did you sell it? Did you decide to stop and go a different route? Did you pivot? You know, what did you decide to do?
Absolutely.
And lead to what you're doing now?
Let me start off by saying I am the queen of pivots. Okay. Okay. So with Active Ego, when I first got into the business, it was about understanding the business, trying to get into retail space, trying to learn how to get, you know, sell and all that. And so once I got into that for a year or two, what I realized is that you are a brand, which means you have to keep the brand relevant, which means you have to start growing and scaling your business and really investing in the marketing and the ways and the different channels in which you're reaching people. I was more intrigued about the business than I was the actual brand. Because what I did understand is that I understood how to sell products, and I understood the blueprint that I created in order to be successful. But I just didn't want to be one brand, right? People are going to buy products because it's products, right? Not so much. And you have those people that buy products because of the name. And I kind of look at it like people go to Target because it's Target, not because of the brands that's in Target. You know what I mean? They have so many brands. If you go to the milk aisle, they have like 4 or 5 different vendors for milk right there, right? And so I was more interested in the development and management of products. And so I knew at that point that I really wanted to focus on like the strategic directions in which I can with their brands. Maybe that's retailers, maybe that's prominent individuals that I work with that want to bring products to market versus just being one solid brand, you know? And so I decided to start Strategy House, which is my strategy management consulting firm, where I do help individuals bring products to market. And part of that is just kind of going through the strategy on being able to do that. So in doing that, I also realized that I really like working with entrepreneurs. You know, entrepreneurs that are not so multi-million, but just kind of like growing and scaling in that direction and being able to give them the resources and tools they need to continue to grow, whether that's in product development, product management, or just business in itself. And so by doing that, it really kind of helped me work with the entrepreneurs in a way that, okay, they got to the point where they need capital, right? So when you think about C2H Capital Partners, and just kind of how my relationship worked with them, it was more or less, I had so much experience with working with entrepreneurs that was not so much startup, but that was just kind of right over that 250,000, I would say, a year mark, kind of going that way. But then now they need investment capital to be able to invest in their business and grow and hire team members and buy products, material, whatever they need, right? So how do you go about doing that? Well, you kind of start in the family friends realm, right? Just kind of like I did. Family, friends, realm, get people to trust and, you know, invest in you. And then slowly, once you've kind of proven there, you kind of go outside the circle and start looking for angel investors and start looking for just investment networks, you know, those family offices, top 1%ers. But by this time, you know, I have had so much of a footprint in business that I started building my own networks of people that really invested in certain types of businesses. Right. And so when you start getting in those circles and then you're also working with entrepreneurs that are looking for capital, it just really makes for a good marriage. Right. I can really work with entrepreneurs and say, this is what you need to be saying. this is what you need to be doing. This is what your numbers need to look like in order to attract this type of person with this type of money. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so it just kind of became this, I became a liaison in that world. And then I started particularly working with women of color, right? Or BIPOC individuals, right? At which there's a lot of capital groups that really don't understand that demographic market, right? So you find these capital firms or investment networks that are like, hey, we trust that you can find the right companies for our money to be invested in this. You know, mm-hmm. can you go do that, right? And so that just really kind of opened up doors for me to not only work with women, but to work with BIPOC individuals that are looking to grow and scale their companies along with networks that are looking to invest in.
So did you close down Active Ego, or like, did you sell it? Like, what were you like, okay, like, I know I'm in this entrepreneurial space. I know that I want to work with women. I know I want to work with entrepreneurs, but like, to do that, I have to close down what started me on this path.
You know, that's a really good question. So I did stop promoting the Active Ego brand, but the designs and styles are still relevant today. I'm still working with individuals that that I design for, or that individual retailers that are purchasing designs and apparel from me, but calling it their own. That's where the white labeling part comes in, right? Okay. So you purchase a style or a look, and then guess what? They put their own name and logo on it, and they put in their own colors. For a little bit, I was distributing for the NBA and WNBA, right? So I distributing plus size fan wear for the stores.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, the Dial Twins was a huge customer of mine. And so you didn't even know it was me, because I was looking at it as a manufacturer distributor, but they put it in their own colors, their own everything, and they just kind of sold it, right? So I would consider that more being, Active Ego is more of my white labeling side of the business, right? So it's not really, you may see that actual brand in a tag, inside of a tag, in a shirt, but you won't see it promoted on the outerwear as a brand.
That's so cool.
Yeah. That is cool. But also, I think that, it's good to educate people about the way we think about business, because mm-hmm. we think that, you know, if it's not in the stores, if we don't see the label, that a business is not successful, and that's not always true. I had to learn that myself just going through business classes. And even if you sell it or whatever, and you decide as an entrepreneur, you decide to do something different, it still doesn't mean you're not successful. Like, that's still a form of success, even if you sell it or if you change it in some kind of way. And what you just said is that you just pivoted. You turned it into another way of making money. So I think that's really cool. For people who are getting started in the business and don't know where to start, like, what do you tell new entrepreneurs? They're like, I have this idea, but I don't know where to start.
First, I always say, ideas don't make you money, so you're going to need to execute. So that idea phase is part of entrepreneurship journey. Right. I will not say that every idea that I've acted on, I was successful in. There were more lessons learned than success. But I also think those lessons learned actually mm-hmm. helped along the way. Right. Even as a kid, I started my journey in entrepreneurship when I was 9 years old, and I was making keychains. Me and my cousin out of this yarn. I don't know if y'all remember MJ Designs.
Are you talking about GIMP, like the GIMP yarn?
There you go.
Yes.
We were doing mm-hmm. the keychain. We were doing small, medium, large. We did 25 cents, 50, 75 cents, right? And we would make like 5 or 10 different colors, and then we put on the end of keychain, and we would drive around. We would actually ride our bikes in the neighborhood. Me and my cousin Ashley. In the neighborhood, we would ring doorbells, and we would actually sell them. I remember selling up to about $30 worth. And girl, we went straight to Payless and got us some shoes, right? But that was our first. I mean, the whole summer, we had like $30 going with the Payless.
Listen, back in the day, $30 at Payless could get you a little something. Yes.
Listen, they weren't even trying to reinvest in the business. They were like, let's just spend it.
Let's just get to pay. Listen.
Let me spend it money, right? So I would say, and that started at 8. Right. And gave you an idea for something else. Maybe what you thought was going to be maybe led you down another path. Right. Or maybe through this idea, you were able to connect with these different types of people and maybe open your mind to something else. Right. So I think God puts ideas and thoughts in our heads all the time. And I'm not saying that they're all million-dollar ideas to act on, but I do think they're worth exploring.
I like the way that you also talk about, like, yourself. Like, you're like, I am a visionary. And I feel like, especially as women and Black women, like, that's not the talk that we have with ourselves. Because if we're not succeeding right away, like, we know the world is going to look at us like a failure. So in the beginning of you doing this process and kind of stepping on your own and not doing that, like, I'm going to get a regular paycheck, how did you, or did you have any, like, negative talks with yourself? And then how did you pivot from that?
Absolutely. I did. I will say I did not realize how important community was, right? Having the right community around you, the right people around you, the right people pouring into you every day. Mm-hmm. Entrepreneurship is not for the weak, okay? It is not for the weak. It is not glamorous. People make it look glamorous, but if you don't work, you don't eat, you don't make money. And if you are taking care of little ones and having families, even worse, right? So it's like, that's a lot of pressure. And so to kind of get back to your question, I have a coach. Mm. I also have a counselor. I also have a certain group of friends that I intentionally make sure I connect with, whether it's via text or some kind of inspirational, motivational type of message, and I make sure that I am surrounding myself with love and people that are just genuinely invested in me, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Invested in my success, you know, people that I know if I say, ooh, I got this accolade, or ooh, this is happening, that I know that they're genuinely happy, or if I'm having a rough day, or if I'm having just a moment, someone that can give me those words and just kind of pep me up, right? I'm not naturally optimistic all the time, you know. I get down on myself. I'm probably the most critical of myself ever, you know. I'm my biggest critic, you know, because I'm just very, I don't know, I do worry. Perception does matter to me, and I say that in a good or bad way. You know, it's also helped me along the way, mm-hmm. But it does matter. I do want people to... I do want to come across a certain way to people or my work. So I can struggle with that. But I think over the years, but again, just my community looking different, who I choose to spend my time with, what I choose to listen to, what I choose to watch, all these little nuggets have really helped me be more confident today than I've ever been. And mentally, working out has helped me a ton. I cannot stress that enough. Before it was a chore, but when I really got into it about 3 years ago, it really wasn't for the physical as much as it was for mental. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's really helped a lot too.
And what's been your biggest challenge, like, in your entrepreneurial journey?
Yeah, balance. I have 3 children. Obviously, I have a family. So I have struggled with, being okay failing, right? I just try not to fail in the same area more than once in the same week.
In the same week. But,
you know, I'm going to miss some practices. I'm going to miss some events. I'm going to be tired. I'm going to bail out on my girls. I'm not going to be able to go to the, you know, I'm going to do all of that. But I just try not to do it too often. You know, but I'm okay. I'm a fail here, you know, and I think that reality, because I'm not superwoman. I don't want to be, but I also feel like a lot of what I'm doing is a lot of what I do is impactful, and it's also a ministry for me, right? That I'm as I get older, I realize it's really less about the money and more about the impact for me. So and it's part of me. So I think my biggest challenge has been just balancing it all, because I'm such a visionary. I'm such a dreamer. I want it all. But just being able to just really plan out what this could look like and what my journey can look like. And know I can have it all, just not all at once.
Yeah, I like that. 'Cause that was actually, I was going to ask that, like, how do you juggle faith family and work, and especially being in a male-dominated industry, because, you know, investment, and I would think that that would get a little tough sometimes to feel like you're always proving yourself, like, I can do this, I can contribute, I know what to look for, like, I'm a valuable asset in this. Do you ever feel pressure about that, or you're just like, no, I got it, girl, they know I'm great, you know, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm going to be honest, I work with probably one of the best partners I could ever have worked with before. I think C2H has brought a lot of confidence out in me, just as an individual, because I am the only female there, right? And then I'm a minority female. Chad Harper is the president of C2H, and he's also a friend, right? Grown to be a friend. And then we also have John and Mark and some of these other guys that are part of our team as well. But the group has just really brought that confidence, because I think they're all so great. They're all seasoned in their careers. I'm younger than them, but they've also molded me in different ways because of their expertise and because of just their knowledge and just how they carry themselves, how they enter a room, how they drive the conversations, how they smell the BS, right? Just all of these tactics that you need when you're in a meeting and when you're dealing with certain groups of people, right? Whether they're just super nice or disrespectful or whatever, like, it's been a pleasure just seeing that over the years, and just me just being a sponge in those environments. So I still get nervous when I go to meetings. I still have to do my pre-work. I do know who I'm dealing with before I get there, so that's important. And I'm always, you know, my goal is to always stay educated and on topic of why I'm there. You know, if I really can't help you, or I don't feel like this is a good way for me to be able to contribute to a situation, I just don't go. I'm not involved. You know what I mean? And I think that goes back to being intentional about the work that I do in my time too, right? But I just, to be honest with you, that team, that group has really helped me understand, hey, you don't have to be in a box. Like, you can do this. You can be in the private equity, venture capital, like this space, but you can still shine as an individual by doing your thing, you know, what you're good at. You know what I mean? So I would say that that group has grown me up over the years tremendously. But again, I go back to community too. I have some great friends, some great people in my life, that have just done wonders for my confidence and for my outlook spiritually as well. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want to overlook the work that I've done internally as well. But I think the combination of things professionally, personally, spiritually, mentally, physically have really helped me a lot.
I agree, because I think we often overlook like how important your community and those who surround you can affect your mood, can affect how you carry yourself, can affect like what you think you can achieve. And being in like being in entertainment, it's like it's also like a dog eat dog world. It's very much like if you don't work, you don't eat kind of thing. And so I have very amazing friends, and knowing that they think I'm talented even when I don't has helped me, you know.
Absolutely. Because it's not easy when you don't have 1,000 people out there cheering for you.
Now you have to be a bit of a confidence booster or a champ or champion someone else, an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. Like when you decide to invest in someone, you're basically saying, I believe in you, you know, and here's how I'm going to help you do this. What do you look for in a company that makes you say, okay, I want to get involved with that?
I look for the person that I'll be getting involved with more than anything. A company, depending on what they're trying to do, kind of makes a difference on what role I will play, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But I really want to believe in the person and the team, to be honest with you. It's very similar to what investors look for when they decide to invest in a company. You know, they're investing in you, in the team, right? Knowing that they're going to get their return, basically, right? And so when things like, let's say COVID-19 happens and you have to pivot your business to do something else in order to get back to where you need to be, but you still need to be making money, can you and the team do that? Can I trust you with this? You know, same thing, you know. I really look at the individual. I look at the team. I look at how savvy they are, right? How much forward thinkers they are. I look at their business model, their company structure, and just really how well they understand the industry and the market that they're in, and how forward thinking they are or where it'll be 3 to 5 years from now, right? Because that's really what you're investing in, of what it will be, you know. And I just, you know, that takes a lot of dating. You know, people think that they can just, you know, even with me, that, you know, deciding to work with me or the firm I'm with, like, we date for about 9 to 12 months, and we're in the business, we're under the hood, we're understanding your day-to-day, we're with you day-to-day, so we can understand how you're operating. And then if we decide to move forward after that, you know, then that'll be what we decide to do based on the answers and things that we know today. But it's just not, hey, I need $100,000 or I need $50,000 in 3 or 4 months to have it. It's just, it's not how it works, right? It's really dating to really kind of understand the person, the company, and to make sure it's a good fit.
Has there been any projects that you are sad you passed up on? Like, you look back and you're like, oh, shoot, I should have actually...
Yes.
You know?
There is. A girl named Taylor Shedd has a company called Stimuli. And Stimuli, when you get a chance, look it up. She's amazing. She's in the academic space, technology academic space, with the software and tool. Met her about 3 or 4 years ago. Met her through an organization that I was working with at a time. But she is doing some amazing things today based on where people didn't see the vision of education going in years to come. Who else? There's been some prominent individuals that I have passed up on, that not because I didn't believe in what they were doing, but more so the capacity. I didn't have the capacity, right? You're talking about working with people that are in the limelight. They need you more than you may be able to offer. You're almost like their own. You're going to be their only, basically, right? A lot of that was just me trying to figure out the type of business that I wanted, but also me trying to figure out me. I don't have any huge regrets on, I mean, there are some thoughts, like the girl I mentioned and some other individuals I won't mention, but I just feel like it'll all come back around. You know what I mean? In some way, shape, or form. I always keep those doors open. And just never know what can happen.
Is there anything new that you want to promote, that you want to talk about? I know Natalia wants to...
I want to ask about it. Cause I
think... Okay, tell me.
I want to talk about skincare. I want to...
Love that.
Because you have... You're like low key about this, but you have a whole skincare line out.
Skincare has always been a desire of mine to have. It's the first one I have in my portfolio. And it's been in the making for almost 3 years now. And it's backed by MIT. It's also patented. And so it took a lot of inner work.
Yeah, to get, ooh.
Yeah, but it's called Skin Exo. It's skin and exo. Exo is exosomes, which are active stem cells that really help with the collagen and elasticity in your skin, like that. What really got me with the ingredient exosomes in itself is that it's not for the masses. Okay. If you go to Beverly Hills or you go to some of the kind of richer areas, they actually have what you call exosome facials. Okay. These facials are anywhere between $4,500 to $6,500 a treatment. Okay. It is not cheap, but it's very effective. Okay. And so exosomes come in vials that are about this big that they normally inject in the skin. Okay. The effects you will see as soon as 3 or 4 hours. Okay, where you see wrinkles, you will not see any more wrinkles. Where you see some discolorization, some of that goes. Think about stretch marks. Think about all of these things, right, with these treatments that are happening. And some people can get them all out in 4 to 5 treatments. Some can do it in about 3 months. But regardless, these are effective, right? Treatment. And so what I was very intrigued on is the fact that, wow, nobody wants to really pay that much, but what if we did a topical, some type of cream or something that could be available to the masses, right? But still have the same effect, but maybe not as instant. And so That's kind of where the research comes along with kind of getting the patented formula and all of these things. It's not just the exosomes, but those exosomes do help. But I was able to, you know, me being in the product space, I was very familiar with different manufacturers and factories all over the globe, and I found the right one for the skincare products in itself. And so that mixed along with these ingredients and the exosome, all these stem cells kind of made this product in itself. And so what I wanted to start off launching with are the face masks, the eye masks, which are amazing. I'll have to send you guys some.
Ooh, I love product.
Along with serums, cleanser, and then the cream, right? And so the cream is our top product because the cream is the ones that have the exosomes in it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the groups that are interested in our cream are medical spas. So we've been pretty heavy medical spas. We started off internationally, by the way.
Oh.
It's already over there internationally.
Okay. And it's
planning to hit a big splash here. But on top of that, I'm also going to be opening up an esthetician school called Skin Exo Institute this fall, where we'll be distributing, not only distributing the product, but I'll also be, you know, when I talked about impact and community, one of my goals is to be able to help, you know, that's another entrepreneurship track.
Mm-hmm.
Where people actually be entrepreneurs and be estheticians along with having products as well. So I'm really excited about that as well.
That's so cool. That's so cool. Yes, because.
Cool. I mean, I guess, I understand the thought of wanting to teach people how to use the skincare, but I find it interesting that you decide to do like an esthetician versus just like a storefront. You know what I mean? Like to just be able to put your product somewhere and be able to sell it versus being like, oh, I actually want to invest in the community and teach them, give people jobs and teach them how to use my product. So that's very interesting because that's not something I would have thought of. So, yeah, that's cool.
I think the school will have the product, but I think the school for me is more than the product. Obviously, mm-hmm. I'm going to have my product, Skin Exo, mm-hmm. Skin Institute, going to be there. But for me, it's just more of just being able to provide an opportunity for people to get educated. Mind you, I'm a professor, so I'm very mm-hmm. passionate about education, right? And so those people that pivot in life to do a whole nother track in life can actually have more than one stream of revenue if they wanted to, or if they just truly wanted to be an esthetician and just be out on their own, that's fine. The Skin Exo product can be there as well. But for me, the school is just more of an extension of the brand. I have done and helped so many brands in itself. I'm looking for more of a legacy footprint. And so I want to be more than the product, right? It becomes a bigger sphere in that way. So when you connect the product to the school, right, and to some other things, I just think it becomes a little bit more of a conglomerate than just a brand. You know, why this brand? Well, this brand also helps this community by investing mm-hmm. in this, you know. You almost have that nonprofit aspect to it as well, or could, right? And so for me, it was just a way to say, okay, other than just the brand, how can we expand this thing to be more of a staple in the community?
I love that because I think like Beyonce is kind of doing that with her hair care brand. Like she's then taking money to reinvest not only in beauty schools, like give scholarships to beauty schools, but like also give it to beauty salons. And so like I love that you're partnering your product with like a school aspect. So and also in a field that like has a lower barrier to entry in the sense of like, I can do this without, say, a bachelor's degree or a master's degree, but still make a living, still do something that I'm interested in that's cool, that I can provide for my family in a different way. And it's a trade, you know? And I think that's something that's like, we're missing a lot of trades in the sense of like, things that you can make a good living at and not have to go to like a traditional 4-year institution. So I think like, I think that's so cool, but also like skincare. Cause you know, I got these black dots on my face and.
No, let me tell you something. I'm very particular about skincare.
Mm-hmm.
I have just, every time I use a product, I amaze myself. I mean, it is really good stuff. And so I'm going to share that with you guys. And just being up on just good, healthy ingredients and things that are just good for our skin. You know what I mean? That fall discoloration actually helps. It helps promote. And that really the line for the brand is it repairs, restores, and rejuvenates your skin. And right. So it helps you not age. So it takes you where you are right now. So that way you can age, stay where you are, age backwards versus aging more. That's really the goal.
Well, listen, I deal with eczema, and so I'm looking for a skincare line that helps with dry skin and eczema patches and stuff like that. If that's the next phase of, I mean, yes, I want to be ageless as well, but definitely want something to help with moisturizing and dry skin and all of that. So
look, you're on the lookout for your mailer, your Skin XO mailer.
Yes.
Dude, those look so good. Listen, these dark spots, man.
Boxes, girl, I'm telling you, it's going to be on. Look, we even have the imprint on the inside.
Look at you. You're so fancy.
We're ready. So, yeah, I'll be here to mail you guys. So.
This was, like, the first thing I asked Courtney about. I was like, so about that skincare line? Like, how she... Are we talking about it or what?
No, it's gonna be exciting.
We are excited for it.
I'm so excited. I mean, like, it's also you launch internationally first. Like, that's kind of crazy. Like, was the market just ready there or?
Yeah, so we have a sales rep and a group of dermatologists and I would say just doctors of all kinds that were very much interested in testing the product and just, you know, distributing over there. And so we're working with networks there to get a look and feel of that. And then we're also slowly making our way this way.
And is it going to be available like in a Target or kind of?
It's going to be online.
Online only. Okay.
Yeah, it'll be available online. And we are looking at some channels, but retail is not the first stop we're going.
Okay. I'm excited, y'all. Copy all the box when it comes out. I sure will be. I'm excited.
Absolutely.
I'm excited. I love good skincare.
Thank you so much, Jennifer, for sharing your entrepreneurial business advice with us. Is there anything else you want to promote? Anything else you want to share? Give us your socials. Give us, you know, where can we find you? How can we support you? Anything else you want to tell the people?
Absolutely. So Pivot to Disrupt is one of my latest community building. You know, what I've decided to do since I do get so many fun phone calls and DMs, I'm like, you know what? I want to start a community called Pivot to Disrupt, being through life and business, and really just provide all of my resources and tools there. I just launched a free mini course. So if you guys can sign up, it's www.thejenniferjames.com. And there you'll find where all my courses are. I'm coming out with a lot of digital products. Newsletters go out every month as well. And just kind of subscribing to the website can kind of get you some of my fun videos and tidbits and whatnot. Just a way to kind of keep people in the loop, which is kind of tips and things that they need, right? That I think is just useful. And I do plan on growing the community. It's already grown a lot. I've gotten a lot of great feedback. And so, yeah, I would just say go to the website, www.thejenniferjames. You can follow me on Instagram at thejenniferandjames. And I think that's it.
Yay. We're going to link it all in the show notes so people can just click away.
Okay,
because that makes life easier, because who doesn't like to click? Jennifer, thank you so much for coming on. Like, learned a lot about entrepreneurship. Like, I love seeing black women kill it out here in these streets.
Thank you, and I appreciate it. First of all, I'm so proud of you guys. Courtney, whoa, this is great. Like, this is awesome.
Thank you.
You guys are doing a podcast and you guys are interviewing some amazing people. So if there's anything I can do to help, let me know.
Ooh, look at us. Good nice entrepreneurial coach.
Y'all are so silly.
But please connect with the show. Please connect with Jennifer. All her stuff will be linked in the show notes. You can follow me at NLorraineXX and...
And you can follow me at CourtneyJGGE. That's my Instagram. I don't know why I cannot.
Every time, girl. This is a running joke. She can never remember her social handles. And then you can connect with the show, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at PrettyFaceLady3. You can also follow us on Facebook at More Than a Pretty Face. And if you would like to say hi, email us, want to be on the show, know someone who should be on the show, please email us at mtapfpod@gmail.com. And